Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. 6 minutes after the hour on this Thursday morning. Still to come, the Democrat response. Alabama political reporter's Josh Moon will join us at the bottom of the hour. Find out what he thought of last night. And he has a prediction. I saw it on their TV show, the Alabama political reporter's show, The V. He thinks Alabama's going to be closer than a lot of the prognosticators think when it comes to Biden versus Trump. We'll have to wait and see on that, but want to hear from Josh. That's at the bottom of the hour. But join us now. Very excited about my next guest. First time on the program. Saw him on Capital Journal over the weekend. Represents the good folks around Troy down in the Wiregrass. State Representative Wes Allen is on the line. Representative, how are you this morning?
I'm doing fine, Jeff. Thanks for having me on the show.
Hey, thanks for taking time to do this. I really do appreciate it. A couple of things going on. First off, let me just kind of get a feel for what's going on here. How is your district? How are your folks dealing with COVID-19?
Well, it's as with any area of the state, we've had our cases in Troy like everybody, but the fine folks of District 89 are strong, resilient people, and they use common sense, and they're doing their very best to deal with it. But we're just taking it one day at a time.
Yeah, it seems as if things are going in a good direction on that. Is that the case there in your neck of the woods?
It is. It's going in a good direction. Where people are out moving around, working, getting back to normal. So that's a good thing and good sight. And been very busy in Troy and very busy in Pike County and, of course, in Northdale County, which is another area of the district that I represent. So it's been going well.
Let's talk about a couple of things you're working on. You have one bill, mildly controversial, maybe not to this audience, but wants to at least put some limits, tap the brakes on, I don't know if it's a phenomenon or not, but maybe not in Alabama, but other places around the country where parents choose to opt for gender reassignment of some sort with their kids. And you think that should be something we wait until maybe a later stage in life to confront.
Yes, HB1, it's the Alabama Vulnerable Child Compassion and Protection Act, and we filed it last year, and it was HB 303 last year, and we got it out of Health Committee, and Senator Shelnut of the Trustville area filed the companion bill, the identical bill in the Senate, and he was able to get it off the Senate floor, and it was coming down to us, but then, of course, the virus kind of shut everything down, but we had a good bill last year in place. We felt like we were going to get it passed and get it over to the governor, but as you know, the COVID shut us down, and it's a legislation that makes it illegal for doctors to prescribe puberty blocking medications or opposite gender hormones to minors, and it's really about protecting kids. So I was shocked, really, to learn that the puberty blocking medication and the opposite gender hormones are being prescribed to children in Alabama, and so that was kind of shocking to hear. You hear that about other liberal places, but when it's going on in your state, it kind of shocks you. So but it's HB1. We're going to be it's going to be in Judiciary Committee this year in the House, and we pre-filed it and looking forward to advocating on behalf of this legislation.
How widespread is this problem? You mentioned it's something we think that is like in other locales, but in Alabama, I think it would a lot of people probably be alarmed if they knew this was going on that level.
Yeah, it's hard to say how prevalent it is. Of course, the privacy laws. But we do know it's taking place, and there are some children out there that struggle with psychological disorders such as gender dysphoria that causes them to be confused about their gender identity. But we need to be helping those kids with some therapeutic treatment from qualified mental health professionals. And you know, this is really based on, sometimes based on, if they don't have gender dysphoria, it's based on their feelings and emotions, a child's feelings and emotions. And, you know, sometimes children aren't mature enough to make the wisest decisions. And so we can't base it on how they feel. We need to be in a loving way, allowing them to grow, but giving them the mental health health care that they need through this process. But just understand that, you know, when you start with a biblical worldview like I do, you know, God made us either male or female. Human sex is binary, and except in extreme cases where, you know, there's some children born with both sex organs, but that's very, very rare. So really we want to protect their bodies. You know, that the long-term effects of these medications that are used on these children has not been vigorously studied long-term to determine what it's going to do to these kids. But some of the side effects are heart issues, liver damage, myriad of issues that pop up when you're prescribing these powerful drugs. And we just want to protect these children, allow them to grow, love on them, give them the therapeutic treatment that they need to be treated with. And if they're adults and want to make decisions and want to make an adult decision, they can still do that. This bill totally deals with minors and protecting them.
Joined by State Representative Wes Allen here on the program. Moving on from that, I know this is we had Representative Haynes, Tommy Haynes from the very northeastern corner of the state on a couple of weeks ago. We've talked to this with Congressman Mo Brooks. In your district is Troy University. They're at Troy, these Confucius Institutes. There's another one in Huntsville, Alabama A&M, but they're essentially kind of outposts of the Chinese government set up on college campuses, not just in Alabama, but all across the country. But it's the ones in Alabama we're dealing with, I guess, as a concern that we, you know, given our relationship with the communist Chinese and really the damage inflicted on the country from COVID-19, do we really need state-sponsored institutions on our public college campuses?
Yeah, so, you know, the Confucius Institute in Troy was established in 2007. I think there's about 170 Confucius Institutes currently in the United States. And, of course, Jeff, I think you've probably seen the Secretary of State Pompeo raised concerns about the Confucius Institutes and the Trump administration as well. And of course, Representative Mo Brooks has been talking about it, and Representative Tommy Haynes has got a bill that he's going to put forth in the coming regular sessions beginning in February of 2021. But you know, I think, in my opinion, these Confucius Institutes need to be removed from publicly funded colleges and publicly funded education colleges, and instead of really focusing on maybe the thing that they're doing is maybe giving a softened view of communism, and we don't really need that in my mind, because I saw some a recent study, you may have seen it, where the younger generation, the 18 to 30 year olds, are really more open to socialism and socialism than we are, or older generations. And so we don't really need a softened view or an institute that gives a softened view of communism. Communism is oppressive and it's evil. And instead, we need to be really focused on educating our kids about Alabama history, U.S. history, the Constitution, capitalism, how capitalism is the best form to take care of people and to move the world forward. And I think that's what we need to be focused on.
Yeah, I mean, our college campuses, or our university campuses, they're liberal enough as it is. It's it seems with these Confucius Institutes, it's a debate about what form of communism or what form of socialism is best. The argument whether this is the way or not, they're not even having that debate. We're at the point of, well, should we do Soviet style or Chinese style? I don't know. Let's talk about the merits of all. Maybe I'm exaggerating a little, but it certainly seems that way.
Yeah, you know, it's we need to be teaching our children about what made our country great, because I feel like we live in a great country that supported more opportunity to more people than anywhere else. And so we really need to make sure we study our history and study our Constitution and study what made the country great, those values and principles that made our country great. And not allowing and I understand cultural exchanges. I get that. But at the same time, we don't need to allow a foothold in our society that allows for a softened view or a revisionist view of how communism operates.
Well, do you worry about that we do seem to be deviating away from what maybe you and I had learned in grade school and high school and so forth, that it's, you know, you have a set amount of time to teach certain things, and what we learned about the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, all the time spent on all that is being replaced with maybe things that favor a progressive ideology, that we're not spending as much time on history as we are on sociology. I don't know, but that we're getting away from those traditions, and that's leading to where we don't have the appreciation of American values like we once were taught.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, right now, the fourth graders study Alabama history. I mean, it's my opinion that kids in eighth and ninth grade need another year, in my opinion, of Alabama history. And so, you know, the study of our past, the study of the present, and we can't forget what happened, can't whitewash it, but at the same time, you know, we need to make sure our kids understand our founding documents, our founding fathers, and what they sacrificed to put in place so that we can enjoy the opportunity that we have in our country.
And finally, Representative, kind of more broadly a question about the legislature. Yeah, it looks to me no special session coming up. It's going to be a really busy session, regular session in 2021. Is that kind of the way you're thinking?
Yeah, I'm not hearing much talk about a special. But 2021, the regular session, which begins the first week of February, is it's going to be busy. Like you said, I agree with your assessment, because, I mean, we got shut down last year in the middle of the 2020 regular session. So there's going to be a lot of the same bills that get filed again. Of course, you got reapportionment, redistricting, that'll be on the agenda as well. And, so we're going to have a lot of issues to address. And like you said, it's going to be a busy time.
Representative, thank you for making time for us this morning. Let's do this again real soon.
Well, I appreciate it, and if I may, just, you know, going back to that Confucius Institute thing, I intend to support Representative Haynes' bill when it gets to the floor.
Yeah,
but thank you for asking about it.
Oh yeah, absolutely. We'll keep in touch on that. State Representative Wes Allen, ladies and gentlemen, on the line. We got to take another break. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.